In the dark.
And then there was light.
Then there was light.
Good morning. So the other day, I'm at the gas station, and it was a little while ago, and it was one of those days where gas is about to go up 40 cents on the gallon any second, which means everybody's there, right? There's 20 people in front of me, there's 5 people behind me, and I'm sitting in my car, and all of a sudden, here comes this guy in this great big truck, and he goes around the whole line and pulls right up to the pump. And I'm like, oh no, he didn't. And I'm thinking, this was a really bad day to have too much coffee. So my heart's racing and I'm getting madder by the minute. And have you ever had that argument with yourself where, like, the angel's on this side talking to you and the devil's on this side, and the angel says, stay in your car. And the devil says, that's not fair. So I got out of my car, and I go stomping over to the truck, and I knock on the window, and his window comes down. And that's when I see his little boy sitting next to him. And the angel says, go back to your car. The little devil says, that's not fair. So I point at him and I say, I don't know if you know it or not, but all these people are in line for gas and you just cut in front of all of us. And he muttered something under his breath like, well, I thought you were in a different line. I say, no, clearly we're all in one line for gas. And he rolls his window up on me. And as he does it, he starts to describe me rather colorfully. And the little angel says, go back to your car. And the devil says, that's not fair. So I point at him again. And I yell really loud, that's a good way to act in front of that young man. Now he's really, really, really mad. He gets out of his truck and he gets in my face. And let's just say, it got way more colorful, really loud. And one police report later, I went home.
Wasn't she a good example? Should have listened to that little angel then. Well, have you ever felt that life's not fair? I Googled that phrase, and there were 12.8 million results. And last Friday, some of you know I'm a magistrate, last Friday I had my criminal docket, so I asked all those guys and women who were coming through there whether they felt life was fair. And there wasn't one of them who thought that life was fair. Can you imagine? Well, somebody once said, we're born wet, naked, hungry, and crying, and then things get worse. Well, today we're going to look at some tough questions you may have about fairness, questions that may cause you to struggle with believing all this God stuff. So let's first take a look at a story that really illustrates something that wasn't fair, Jesus on the cross. In Luke 23, it says, one of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed, so you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it. But the other criminal protested, don't you fear God even when you're dying? We deserve to die for our evil deeds, but this man hasn't done anything wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus replied, I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise. And as we'll talk more about a little later, we get to go to paradise with Jesus, just like the guy on the cross next to him, because Jesus allowed himself to be wrongfully accused and killed, even though he hadn't done anything wrong. Now that's not fair. But it does lead to the first point on your outline, which is, that's not fair, but God is just. In 1 Peter 2, it says, he, meaning Jesus, never sinned, and he never deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted. When he suffered, he did not threaten to get even. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. So if we leave our stuff in the hands of God, how often does he judge fairly?
Always.
Always. But is it easy for you to accept that ultimately God is in charge of justice? I know it's not easy for me. What about you, Susan?
Well, obviously from my gas station story, it's not too easy for me either. And another challenge happened to me last fall. And I don't know if you guys remember, some of you were here, we did a journey. And in the journey they said, choose one of these statements that you have the hardest time accepting. And so the one I chose was, God will provide exactly what you need, no matter what. So we're in this small group setting, and I shared that I had a big problem with that statement. And my small group kind of looked at me like I had three heads. They were like, you're a pastor. You're our small group leader. I've been a Christian for 37 years. I should know this stuff, right? So the truth was, I had been struggling with that concept for a while. I didn't believe it. And that idea, God will provide exactly what you need, it was really coming against me. Now, prior to this journey group, I had been in a strong time group. And in that strong time group, we watched this DVD, and it talked about people in other countries who did not have clean water. And some of these people would walk miles to get clean water, and they would die on the way. And in the same study, they talked about the sex slave industry and how children were being bought and sold every single day. And I just thought to myself, God, where are you? This is so not fair. And so I'm back, fast forward back to the journey group. So I'm at this journey group, and this material asked me, do you believe that God will provide exactly what you need? And I'm like, no, I don't believe that. And I spewed out all over my small group my lack of faith. Trust me, it was ugly. And one of the group members said to me, are you mad at God? And I said, no, way too quickly. Then I said, well, maybe. And then, yes, I am mad at God. And I owned it. That was ugly too. But anyway, I went home that night from small group, angrier than ever. And I wanted to scream at God, this is not fair. And then God woke me up that morning at 4 o'clock in the morning. And he said, Susan, I want to talk to you.
Stay tuned after these short commercial messages. She'll come back and finish that story. Let's look at the second point on your outline. That's not fair, but God is not to blame. Have you ever blamed or questioned God about anything? Like, for example, when your computer crashes just after you finish your 15-page report? Or when your child gets sick? Or when you get laid off from your job? Or when you start going bald, like Ken? Or when somebody who sings like Miley Cyrus gets famous and you don't? Just saying. But seriously, there are questions many of us struggle with, but God wants us to know the truth, and he wants us to share that truth with others. Jesus tells us who's partially to blame in John 10. He says, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give life in all its fullness. So, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy? Satan the thief. But is it all Satan's fault? I don't think so, Tim. I just had a...
Bad mullet.
Satan often needs people to pull off his plan, and so he tempts us with really awesome, attractive, appealing, and astounding stuff, and probably other stuff that starts with the letter A. And when we fall for it, we unwittingly become his accomplices. And how does Satan tempt us to do his will instead of God's will? By taking great things that God has blessed us with and making them bad. And how does he do that? By getting us to do things out of balance. For example, having a glass of wine isn't a sin, but getting hammered, not so smart. Satan doesn't fight fair. He's crafty, cunning, calculating, and clever, and a bunch of other C words. And he uses and manipulates us to cause unfairness. But the good news is that when Satan tempts us, God always provides a way out, always. In 1 Corinthians 10, Paul said, if you think you're standing strong, be careful, for you too may fall into the same sin. But remember that the temptations that come into your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out, so that you will not give in to it.
All right, so back to me being woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning and screaming at God and all that ugly stuff. He showed me a vision, and I know that might sound weird to some of you. It felt weird to me. And I woke up and there was this big picture of the earth, and it was covered in clouds, kind of very similar to that. And he said to me in my heart, I made that. It was very humbling. I created the air you breathe, the water you drink, the fruits, vegetables, and animals you eat. I made the trees and the rocks that you use to make shelters. I made the fibers that you use to make clothing. I gave you my son to be my savior and to give you a spiritual life and an eternity with me. I gave you my word, the Bible, which gives you instructions on how to live a safe and secure life. My word is full of wisdom, and if everyone on the earth would follow it, you would all be safe and secure. Then he said, the word teaches you how to be a good spouse, a good parent, a good friend, a good person, and how to love your fellow man. I have given you everything you need. You have airplanes, hospitals, doctors, and medication. I created enough for everyone, but all of my children will not share. Then I saw a big bright word across my ceiling, and it said, money. And God said, money is the only thing stopping you from supplying what my children need around the world. Some of my children are selfish and greedy and disobedient. Ouch. So, are we to blame? I don't know about you, but I'm going to own my part. I'm speaking for myself here. In recovery, they say, keep it in the eye. So, here goes. I don't like to hear that I'm greedy or selfish or disobedient. That is not fun. Or that money is controlling my decisions. I don't like to think about that either. But even though I kind of felt sad about those things, I felt so happy and excited because I understood that God was not to blame. And it lifted this heaviness off my heart. And I also felt like God must really love me, that he cared enough to correct me. So that was really awesome. Now, I would still rather believe that it's all Satan's fault. That would be much better. But I have to own my part. And God wants us all to understand that he wants us to love the whole world, and that one of the main things stopping us from loving the world is money. After I had that vision, I was driving down the road a little while later, and this song came on the radio, and every hair on my body stood up because this guy was singing my vision. And so we're going to play a video for you because I wanted to share that with you. I hope.
This morning, saw a world full of trouble. Now I thought, how do we ever get so far down? And how's it ever gonna turn around? So I turned my eyes to heaven. I thought, God, why don't you do something? Well, I just couldn't bear the thought of people living in poverty, children sold into slavery. The thought disgusted me, so I shook my fist at heaven. It's time for us to do something. tired of talking about how we are God's hands and feet, but it's easier to say than to be. Live like angels of apathy, we tell ourselves it's alright, somebody else will do something. Sick and tired, life with no desire. I don't want a flame, I want a fire. I want to be the one who stands up and says, I'm gonna do something. If not us, then who? If not me and you, right now, it's time for us to do something.
Question for you. Where are you maybe being tempted to overspend your money? There's a list in your outline, and there's a list over my head in a second. And on that list, there are several things listed that you might place too much importance on in your life. When I look at this list, I see several things that I can scale back on. I see several areas that I can cut back so that I can help and love someone else. Now, I want to say that this list is not bad. None of the things on this list are bad. These are great, awesome gifts that God gives us to enjoy. And He wants us to enjoy them. But if we're spending so much time and money on those things that we forget to love our fellow man, then those gifts turn into burdens and they steal our ability to love others.
This world is temporary and imperfect, and it's never going to be totally fair, is it? However, we can do a little bit to try to even the score or even level the playing field. For example, the strong time group that Susan referred to earlier led to the well that's out in our lobby. And so far, we've raised $2,500 to build a reservoir in Haiti to provide a whole community with clean water. But one of the things we're trying to get across today is, you know, it's not wrong to go on nice vacations. It's not wrong to have multiple cool guitars, for example.
It might be wrong.
No. If you're sharing your blessings and helping others. In Philippians 2, Paul says, do not look out merely for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. And many of you here today do just that. You give your time and your talent and your money on Monday night at our food pantry, at our Love Out Loud events. You saw the two teams we have going to Haiti. Yesterday, we had an auction for Haiti. We raised $4,500 yesterday.
Woo!
We're going to be able to build a school and do a whole bunch of things there that we wouldn't otherwise be able to do, thanks to all of you guys. So give yourselves a round of applause.
Yay.
All right. But if you're enjoying the many blessings that God has given you and not really concerning yourself with the fact that there are men, women, and children here and around the world who are suffering, then you might want to reconsider your priorities. Because we have the ability to do something about suffering and unfairness. If we share our blessings, we can impact the world with God's love. And keeping a balance in your life is a good place to start. But it's only going to work if you allow God's love to intervene, because we can easily get caught up in our own little worlds and forget about the millions of people who God loves and who are suffering. Jesus asked Peter in John 21, "Do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said, "you know I love you." "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus replied. So loving Jesus means taking care of his children. It's a big responsibility, but it comes with an even bigger reward, which brings us to point 3 on your outline. That's not fair, but God promises eternity with him. And the good news is that eternity is a free gift. It doesn't depend on fairness. We get it because Jesus was treated unfairly and died on the cross. In 1 Corinthians 2, Paul says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him." And in Revelation 21, it says, "He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever." So when you feel overwhelmed by injustices, look to the future, because in eternity, it's finally going to be fair.
All right. Today, Greg and I are not sharing anything to make anybody feel guilty or feel bad about their life. We're also not here to teach you that life's not fair, because I think you probably already know that. And the reason that we wanted to share today was to inspire you. And I hope we've done that. And we have 3 ideas that might help inspire you. Our first idea is to trust God's justice. When someone wrongs you, like at a gas station, and you take matters into your own hands and seek out that justice yourself, I promise you, this will steal your peace. And I want to also promise you that God is faithful. He will take care of your enemies. Now, he might show your enemies mercy, but thank God for that, because he shows you and me mercy too, right? So, if we let go and leave vengeance in God's hands, peace comes to us. And when we obey God, rewards come to us. So it's a win-win. So trust God's justice. Our second idea is own your part. What is your part in loving this great big world? Look at your life. Is there anywhere that you can make an adjustment? In Luke 3:11, it says, "He who has 2 coats should give him who has none 1. So if you have more than 1 coat, let's see. Does anybody here have more than 1 coat? Raise your hand. Come on. Okay. I have several coats, and some people have none. And when you say that out loud, can you hear that that's not fair? I can. Our third idea is believe God's word. Now, this one might be really hard. I know there's lots of reasons why people don't believe God's word. Trust me, a chapter a day keeps stupid away. Are all the kids and the kids think, don't say stupid, kids. Bad word. People have all kinds of reasons to not read their Bible, and I've been asking people preparing for this today, and some of the things I've heard is, well, I don't believe all of it, so I'm not going to read it. Or, it's too hard to understand all those big words. And the most common is, I just don't have time. And I think God would say, that's not fair. How can you judge it? How do you know if you believe it if you don't read it? So I challenge you today, I'm asking you to consider letting God help you believe it. Like I said earlier, he is faithful. You give him a chapter a day, and I promise you, he will blow your mind. Matthew 7:7 says, "Keep on asking, and you will be given what you ask for. Keep on looking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And the door is open to everyone who knocks." So if you're seeking the truth, I promise you, you will find it. On a lighter note, a wise man once said, "I know the world isn't fair, but why isn't it ever unfair in my favor?" Do you ever feel like that? My favorite comic wrote that. He used to write Calvin and Hobbes. Great guy. Anyway, we're going to wrap up our thoughts. God is just. God is not to blame. God promises eternity with him. And if you trust him, own your part, and believe God's word, life is going to make more sense, I promise. The awesome results are found in Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes everything, even the unfair stuff, to work together for the good of those who love God. All right, if you would, pray with me. Lord Jesus, we ask you to reveal yourself to us. Help us to rely on you. Lord, we ask you to inspire us today to help each other and love each other. We want your will. Reveal your will to us, Lord Jesus, and give us the strength to do it. In your name we pray. Amen.